Before we begin, I do have a couple of things I need to say. First of all, you have to understand that getting up here and preaching the Word of God is really quite scary. And it's not you that's scary, because you're all in front. It's handling the Word of God that's scary. But what I find terrifying is the children's message. You just never know. Nobody here is going to ask me a question during the service. And if you do, that's fine. But you just never know what's going to happen when you start talking to kids. And Hartley Clitter found out the hard way. For those of you who are old enough to know. Which leads me to let you know that we are going to continue and finish the book of Romans as was scheduled. And the elders, we have a schedule for preaching. The elders are going to be preaching and filling in. I will do these next 2 weeks, and then I will be out for a little bit. And we will continue on as the Church of God in Clarksville. So we're in Romans today, and I'm not a terribly creative person. And so I worked really hard on the title of this sermon. I mean, I really stressed over it. And so the title of the sermon is Romans 10. So if you have the ability, please stand with me as we read the Word of God. Starting at Romans 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But if Israel, he says, all day long I held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, open your word to us so that we understand it and rejoice knowing you better every day. Help us to be servants of you, followers, hard after you, and always rejoicing in you, bringing you honor and glory as you deserve. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And I will take my customary seat. So, the first two verses, verse 14 and 15, they say, then how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. First of all, it's very clear that there must be a clear preaching, presentation of the gospel, and it must precede faith. It is something that we must understand and hear. Now, it doesn't mean that a deaf person can't be saved. And it doesn't mean that a person who can't read can't be saved, because God used all kinds of means of preaching the gospel to us. But it means that God will make sure every person whom he has elected will know the gospel and believe the gospel, the good news. So something that we all know and we take for granted, but something we need to rehearse to ourselves every morning about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for our sins. Not for His, but for ours. This includes understanding the gospel, includes general revelation. So, take a second, look outside. Look at the snow, the white snow, and the trees, and the leaves gone, and some trees that still have leaves, and the birds that you see flying around, and all the animals, and everything in creation that you see. And tell me that it happened without God. If you believe it happened without God, you have far more faith than I do. But your faith is in nothing. Sure. All of this was created by God. And this is oftentimes the beginning of our searching for God. When you look around and you go, look at the sun and the moon and the stars. They can't have happened by man, just randomly. Now, just so you know, God has already found you when you start searching. God has made it so that you search. You don't do this because Scripture clearly says there's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Nobody. Until God makes it so that you seek after Him. So Isaiah 52, that's where these verses come from. In Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And Jesus tells us in Ephesians 2 that He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. That's both Jews and Gentiles. That's both Israelites and non-Israelites. Jewish people and the rest of the world. And that's where the word in Hebrew, goy, is the singular, goy is the plural. It means nation. Goy means nation, and goyim means nations. So there was only two kinds of people. Those who God called out, Abraham's seed, and the rest of us. And this section is about how God uses us for His purposes. So there's just the children of Abraham and us. Unless, of course, you're Jewish, in which case you're both. Congratulations. In John 10, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd, not just Israel, but Gentile sheep. The original flock was Israel. And then God called the rest of them to hear His message and believe. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We're the ambassadors. I know you've all heard this, but what does an ambassador do? An ambassador represents not his thinking, but whom he represents thinking. We represent God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to the people around us, all the people around us. We don't do our own will. We don't say our own things. We represent God. Always. At all times. tell others of that great love that God has for us, and that we are reconciled, despite the fact that we are sinners, we are saved by grace. Verse 16 says, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed, because he has heard from us. All people who hear do not believe. God has chosen us to believe. Not because of ourselves, not because we're good, not because we've done something, not because he looked into the future and saw us. He has done it, and he says, when asked the question, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God never explains to us how he chooses his people, just that he does. 2 Thessalonians says, it is evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Worthy. We're worthy of the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought about that? What makes us worthy? Well, we're worthy because of what God has done for us. He changed our hearts. He opened our eyes. We're worthy because of what God has shown us, mercy and forgiveness when we deserve neither. We're worthy because of what God has given to us, peace with God himself. And God has made us worthy because he is reconciled. We are reconciled to God because of Christ's death on the cross. Despite being sinners, we are reconciled to God because of what Christ did for us. Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, that's Jesus, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We are to obey because he has changed us. And no, it's not easy. Definitely not easy. But it doesn't negate the fact that we are to obey. One of the greatest sections in Scripture, I really like it, and it has two of my favorite words in it, so we're going to read it. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it describes us. It says, and you, that's all of us, were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's a description of us, B.C., before Christ came and changed us. And now my two favorite words in the Bible. But God. Two very simple words. But God, who interceded on our behalf. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, God's grace, you have been saved. But God interceded on our behalf and made us believers in Jesus Christ alive. We were made alive by hearing the word of God preached, by hearing the gospel, by God interceding in us on our behalf, by loving us before we ever could have conceived of loving him. It says, we believed our report. Well, verse 10:16 is a quote from Isaiah 51. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And who has the arm of the Lord? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And the answer? It's really very simple. The elect of God. They're the ones that respond. The Lord has been revealed to all the elect of God from the beginning of time until this very moment, and it will continue to happen until Christ returns. facing us on the cross. He died not because of his sin. He died because of my sin. He died because of your sin. Because we were unacceptable before a just and holy God. Because we were sinners. All to all of Christ and nothing of us. We have done nothing to receive the love or be owed the love of God. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. I'm not even sure we're capable. I'm not even sure we're capable on our best days. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But Jesus tells us about that in Matthew 28. It says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Preach to everyone, all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That is assuming we are following all that God has commanded us. And behold, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are to be teaching and preaching the gospel everywhere, to everyone, at every opportunity. Every opportunity. Paul tells us in Acts 20, he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is our example. In the midst of people who hated God, who worshiped pagans, he said, I did not shrink from preaching the truth. And you all know the gospel if you are a believer. Paul is our example. Following the commands of Christ, declaring the word of God, the gospel to all people. And that's exactly what we should do. And sometimes I think we just don't see the importance of it. The elders have been discussing this for quite some time about our outreach. And just so everybody knows, I don't know if anybody knows except for the finance committee. The elders have approved, the finance committee has made sure we had the money to buy a van, to do outreach, to bring students that are from Open University and other places to hear the word of God preached, to bring them here. Because it is important that we do outreach. It is important that we spread the word of God. Romans 10:18 says, but I ask, have you not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Israel's heard. And eventually, everyone will hear the word of God. And no one can say they didn't have any idea that God existed. Because God is the creator of all the beauty that you see and the wonder that you don't understand. Psalm 19 tells us, it's written by David, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim his handiwork. You ever lay on the grass at night, somewhere where it's dark, not here in Boston, and look up at the sky and seen all the stars? Have you ever done that? God made them all. You can't even count them all. I don't have enough fingers and toes to do it, but God created all that. God created the sun and the moon and the stars. God created everything that there is. Psalm 19:2 says, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. The knowledge of just looking around is knowledge of God. It's called general revelation. And it's God self-disclosing himself. He shows us that we are without excuse. And it says the revelation of God has reached the whole world, earth. It's because no one can say they have not experienced what God has created. But it goes on, Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The word of God and the power of the word of God are perfect. The word of God produces the results that God desires. Now go and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Did you know that salvation comes only through special revelation? And that special revelation to us, is God's word directly to us, especially to us, written so that every person in this room and every person in the world can read what God has to say to us. It's effectively applied. God's word is effectively applied to us by the Holy Spirit, this individual. Most of us came to Christ because we were convicted of our wretchedness and our sin. And that conviction came from someone preaching this word to us. Jeremiah 29 says, "Then you will call upon me," that is, call upon God, "and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and you seek me with all your heart." And we can only do that after we've heard the word of God. Matthew 24 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to nations, and then the end will come." But we are commanded to preach the gospel to the whole world. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why we preach when we're on vacation. That's why we do what we do. And that is why we exist, because we exist to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, for God Almighty. And it's a promise that God has made to help us fulfill that, telling the whole world about God. He's promised to help us. He gives us opportunity. All you have to do is wait. Okay. I'm telling you, if you look, I'm not comfortable preaching the gospel, but I do it when I can. I get so many opportunities. You know, I spend a lot of time in the hospital meeting new doctors today. Do you know how many doctors I think believe in God? I don't think enough. Well, I know that now. But you have the opportunity to witness to them. It's just an amazing thing. It doesn't make you feel better physically, but it's a great thing. We're fulfilling what God has said to do. John 1:9 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, is coming into the world." Jesus is the light. Jesus is the word. It is coming to the whole world, and we are the ones to be spreading it. The light is Christ in his gospel, and this gospel will spread to everyone. Colossians 1 says, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the world. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." The word of truth is the gospel. The word of gospel, the Bible, is the word of truth. It is the gospel telling us of the good news of Jesus Christ. "And it has come to you, indeed, in the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and fruit." The word of God never is unfruitful. It produces what God wants it to produce, either the acceptance of God's word and truth or the rejection of God's word. But it produces what God has ordained. The word, the gospel, has changed us. Those believe, and the whole world will hear the gospel and see the glory of God. But they will not necessarily hear, believe what they hear. Romans 10:19 says, But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses said, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. This section comes from Deuteronomy 32:21, which says, they have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous of those who are no people, those who be the Gentiles, and I will provide them, and I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Israel heard the word of God. They knew a Savior was coming. They knew that they had to follow hard after God. And they didn't. Some did, but many didn't. They rejected God's word. They rejected His word when it was brought to them over and over and over again by the prophets. They did not believe. And then God took a nation, Gentiles, and they believed. We believed. Isaiah 65 said, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. To the nations outside of Israel, He called us and said, here I am. And many believed. Isaiah 65:2 says, I spread out my hands all the day toward rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. And that was Israel. And we have to be cautious not to be the ones who follow after our own devices and follow our own way. Those of Israel who did not believe did not seek after God, but other people who did believe did seek after God. And God made them His own. He has made us His own children. We are the beneficiaries of this grace from God to the Gentiles. The last two verses, Romans 10:20, says, then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. Those are the Gentiles. Verse 21 says, but of Israel, he says, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people, Israel. They did not believe. Many times Jesus spoke hard truths through parables. And I'd like to read one for you and do a little bit of an explanation of it. It's from Matthew 21. It starts out and says, hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went to another city. The master was God. And the tenants were Israel. And he prepared them and gave them everything. Goes on to say, when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stole another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. You know who the servants were? The prophets that God repeatedly sent to them to tell them what God was doing and who God was. They were sent by God to teach and inform Israel. Goes on to say, finally he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But the tenants saw the son. They said to themselves, ah, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. The son was Jesus, our Savior. Goes on and says, then therefore the owner of the vineyard comes. What are the Gentiles who came to believe in Jesus Christ. This is the word of God telling us about Israel turning their backs on God and His Son, many even to this day, and His making us, His children, the tenants in their place. So let me close differently than normal. If you've got a pen and paper, I'd like you to write something down. I have homework for you. I want you to go home and this day read Luke 14, 16 through 24. Read it as a family. Read it as a couple. Read it as an individual. This is a parable also told by Jesus for our edification. Go home and you and your family read the parable and learn what He is teaching us about God. The question is, what is He teaching us about God? What is He teaching us about Israel? What is He teaching us about the Gentiles? And about how God changes us so that we believe. Go home and study. Spend some time. It is Sunday afternoon. Go and dive deeply into the Word of God. Before we take communion, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your Word, although many times it is very hard to hear. Many times it is hard to understand. Help us to understand what you have taught us. Help us to follow hard after you. Help us to desire to be more like you and follow your commands. Go before us, Lord. Keep your hand upon us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I would like to ask the elders to come up. And we will serve communion and praise to you whenever they come up. Before we come to the Lord's table, let's take a few moments and repent before God. We are still a sinful people, saved by grace, forgiven because of God's mercy. So spend a few moments seeking the face of God and confessing.